Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Like a battlefield.
There's a battle for the soul of America.
We can't let him tear the kingdom down.
This is no game. This is war.
Flesh and blood. It's between the bad and good. We can't stop until the trumpet sounds. This is war. Not a game we're playing. This is a war.
The only question is, which side will you be on? It's time now for a call to decision with Pastor Butch Paul.
Hello and welcome, my friends. This is Pastor Butch Paul. It's 25 January 2023. You're in for a treat tonight. You really are. This is another brand new guest for us tonight. And I'll bring up a minute and tell you all about who she is. And I mean that. Tomorrow, of course, is Thursday. So we'll be in the office tomorrow from between 9 and 4 Eastern for your phone calls, for orders, whatever you want to do. And prayerfully, Krista will be here. I have a couple prayer requests tonight, and I'll bring up this one first. As you know, Crystal's daddy's been pretty sick, been pretty much bedridden for the last several months, a year or so probably. They took him to the doctor today because the left side seemed to be partially paralyzed. They couldn't find what the problem was. They found a brain tumor. So they sent him about 2.5 hours, 3 hours north of us to Morgantown, West Virginia, at a better hospital, for further tests. He's up there right now with testing being done. I don't know whether Crystal will be here tomorrow or not. Depends what happens with Johnny and whether he's sending him home or what happens. I don't know yet. But do keep Johnny, Judy, Crystal, and the family in prayers, please. Johnny needs a healing hand desperately. And his wife, Judy, has worked in the office here for years also. Had to quit because of taking care of her husband. But the whole family needs prayers for comfort and peace the Holy Spirit can give him. So please, folks, remember them in prayer. Also, a prayer request from Daryl, our brother up in Pennsylvania. Ask keep the January 6th criminals, they call them. They're in prison now on many trumped-up charges. Keep them in prayer, please. And also ask to pray for Jamie Walden, the guest I had on last night, because of his ministry and what he's trying to do in the FIGHT ministry, trying to help homeless children who've been trafficked. So keep Jimmy Walden in your prayers also. And again, I make mention that a lady called a week or two ago, gave us the name of a church in Phoenix, because they have a listener in Phoenix area that wanted to go to church, can't find one. And the gentleman did call. Eddie did call, but I lost the church phone number, and please forgive me. So if the lady's listening tonight to help us find the church in Phoenix, Arizona, please call tomorrow and give us a number. I'd appreciate it. I'll see that Eddie gets it, I promise. I won't lose it again. I'm so sorry about that. I'm making a lot of mistakes, folks. And don't forget, we are offering our two DVDs that's left out of the seven seminars we've done. We have some of those left. Two DVDs are about 8 hours long total. And, folks, I'm telling you, they're two fantastic DVDs and seminars. One's entitled Zombie Nation, a Nation of Mind-Controlled Slaves. The other is Broken Era, the cry that come out in Vietnam more than once when a company's been overran. They hollered Broken Arrow, and they sent in the forces, folks. The Air Force, everybody come in to defend those troops that were surrounded. And it's available. Both of these are available for $10 for two of them. That just covers shipping. But if you want more of them, I made a deal with the gentleman today. He wanted 10 of each. If you buy a pack, if you want the two for 10, cover shipping, you can have the other two for $5 a pair. $5 a pair, folks. That's just, again, enough to cover shipping. Everything's so expensive when it comes to shipping things anymore. So that'll cover shipping. You can get anything above one set, $250 each, $5 a pair. Get them while you can. Share with your friends and family. The news is covering those things 15, 16 years ago was much more relevant today than it is now, folks. And you listen to guys, folks like Russ Dizdar, I went to be with the Lord here a year or so ago, and others like Joyce Riley passed away several years ago. They're all on there. You want to hear them. You truly, truly do. So give us a call tomorrow at 800-777-4403, 800-777-4403, or 304-846-4448. Prayerfully, Chris will be here. If not, I'll have a lady named Shannon help me in the office some. We may not get all the orders out tomorrow, but we'll do the best we can. You feel free to call tomorrow and talk to us, okay? And I'll give you an update on Johnny tomorrow, too, when I want to know more about him. So anyway, our guest tonight is Dr. Molly James. I have a gentleman listening to this broadcast in Virginia. His name is Mitchell. He has told me for the last 3 months, you got to find Dr. Molly James. She's wonderful. That's a literal word. She's wonderful. So I got to check on this. I went online and looked up Dr. Molly James. And she is. From what I can read, she's a wonderful doctor and a pretty doctor. I like pretty doctors. One I have, not very pretty. He's kind of ugly. But anyway, Dr. Molly's a pretty lady. And she's a caring individual. I want to talk to her on the phone. I know that she sincerely desires to help people. She reminds me a lot of Dr. Carrie Madej and her tenacity and Dr. Sherry Tenpenny. Dr. Molly James with us tonight. Dr. Molly, you there?
I'm here, Pastor Bush. Thanks for having me.
Oh, you're more than welcome. You're more than welcome. I mean, you've read about you and heard about you, you must be something special because everybody seems to love you.
Well, not everybody on Twitter, but yes, it's been a wild couple of years, I tell you.
I had no doubt. But how did you? Well, give us a quick talk. Who is Dr. Molly James? Where'd you come from? What do you do? I mean, how'd you get into all this?
Yep, I grew up in southern Iowa, went to medical school in Des Moines. I did a general surgery residency. I did a critical care fellowship, so I'm boarded in those two specialties, general surgery, critical care. I was a trauma surgeon for the first 6 years of my career. I ended up hanging up my scalpel because I just had no life, and so I went straight to critical care. I incorporated functional and integrative medicine into my practice and became certified in functional medicine. And when the pandemic hit, I was, trying to learn to ski and work in a really nice schedule. And when that happened, I was one of the first people to get COVID. And while I was sitting home on quarantine, I was watching what was happening in New York City. That was March of 2020. And the now disgraced Governor Andrew Cuomo was on TV begging ICU doctors to come help. And so I answered the call to that. I signed up, and about a week later, they selected me to come out. And I did 10 days in an ICU out there. And it's probably the worst thing I've ever seen in my life. It's a hospital with about 20 ICU beds. And when I walked in, there were 75 patients on ventilators. So they were shoved anywhere in the hospital we could find a room. And there were more incoming every day. We probably had 10 to 12 new patients every day coming in on vents. So from there, I live in the Midwest in St. Louis. And came back to St. Louis, where they had completely shut the hospitals down, so we had no patients in one of our ICUs. And so I made the decision to go back and forth between New York City and St. Louis, number one, to help out where it was busy, but also so I could see what was working and helping people and bring that back to the Midwest. So that's kind of how I got started in COVID.
Wow. And, boy, we could go on what you already said for half an hour at least. When you went up and you saw this going on, after a while, what was your impression of what's going on?
So, honestly, in the trenches, we didn't have a good the perspective now is very different, right?
Right.
Because we were working 12 and 14-hour days. We had, 15 to 20 patients we were rounding on. And we just couldn't keep up. And the whole world had shut down. So even just getting food or groceries or, what we needed, it was a very different experience. And we were trying things. We were trying hydroxychloroquine. We had heard out of China that was working. So we were using that, and we were using the vitamins. And, everybody, I remember calling home the first night I worked, and I told my parents, I said, everybody dies. Everybody dies. And so I was terrified because I didn't know. I knew that if that crossed the country, the United States would be changed forever. If what happened in New York crossed the country. So at that time, I was, you know, saying, put on your mask, social distance, stay home, you know, do all the things because I thought that was helping. Toward the end of the summer, they started doing autopsies on patients, and we found that there was a clotting problem and that it was an inflammatory problem. So we kind of started adding things like steroids and blood thinners, and nobody really knew what to do, right? Because we didn't have controlled data. And when you're in the field, when you're in the battle, you can't see the battle plan, right?
Right.
You can't see what other people are doing. You don't have all the data. So, you know, how much blood thinner do you use? We were trying that. How much steroid do you use? And, you know, in hindsight, my perspective is a lot different. But some people, you know, the first wave in New York was March, April, May, and by June it was calming down. The summer was pretty quiet. And then September, October, November, December, we had a surge out here in the Midwest. So worked through that. And then after the first of the year, this is now 2021, New York started surging again. So it was a very different pandemic in 2021 because remember what came out at the end of 2020 that changed everything. Like, that is really the inflection point to me of the pandemic.
Wow.
Do you remember what came out?
No, please tell me. I don't remember.
The shot.
Oh, yes. Duh. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So as I'm in New York, there were a couple of kind of turning points that got my attention, right? The first one was after 4 to 6 weeks of being closed and the country being closed, you started seeing the reopen protests, remember? And people were saying, I want to go to church. I want to go to work. We're essential. We can't stay shut down. And the public health leaders poo-pooed that movement and said, you're selfish, you're extremist, you're going to kill everybody, and we're really opposed to that protest. But then in June of 2020, the George Floyd incident happened. And so you had a different group of people who were protesting for social justice. And the public health people responded very differently to that, right?
Yes,
they said,
did.
Nope, it's worth it. Yep, it's worth it. You can go out there and you can protest, COVID's okay. And that didn't make any sense to me because either it's dangerous to both or it's fine to both. They're human beings. So that was kind of the first turning point that got my attention. I don't know about you.
Yeah, well, it kind of made me angry. They were trying to shut down churches. Our little church never did shut down. Matter of fact, we sent our governor a letter and told him he was not our boss or our God. And we're having fellowship. Do what you want. But anyway, we didn't wear the silly mask. We didn't play the games. And I'm still here.
Yeah.
But it made me angry when they did that. When I saw the people destroying property and doing what they were doing, and the churches still couldn't go to church.
Yeah. So that was kind of, to me, the first thing that didn't add up, right? And it was inconsistent. And public health people that were talking, I'm like, that's not right. And then the next thing that got my attention is, remember the frontline doctors stood, it was July, and they stood on the steps in front of the Supreme Court.
Yes.
And they said, there's treatment.
And I interviewed Dr. Stell on the program a couple weeks ago.
Yeah. I mean, she was one of them, right?
Yes.
And to be honest, I know of most of them now personally. I didn't agree with everything that they said, but I said, you have the right to say that, right?
Right.
And the next day, that video was erased from the internet.
Yes.
And
that should tell us something right there.
Correct. So that was also very bizarre to me. And, you know, again, because Dr. Stella said hydroxychloroquine is a cure for COVID. And that wasn't my experience, right? My patients were getting hydroxychloroquine and they were dropping like flies in the ICU. I said, I don't agree with what she's saying, but she's got the right to say it. And now we know why that absolutely is true. So in 2020 with the pandemic, it was kind of, we're all in this together, and it was just an unfortunate thing, right? And everybody was scared. Not everybody, but, you know, the majority of people were pretty afraid. They didn't know what to expect. But when the shots came out, it became a moral argument. It became a huge propaganda campaign. Yeah, and the sentiment in the hospitals changed. And basically what happened is it went from, like, oh, these poor people are really sick, to you didn't deserve to get sick because you got a shot, and this guy over here doesn't deserve a hospital bed because he didn't. That's what we started to hear and see in the hospitals.
Yes, yes, I remember that. I mean, and as it went, I know you got a lot more to share, and we're going to run out of time so quickly. We've got about 5 minutes before a break here, 6 minutes before a break. But when did you really start saying, this something's really wrong here, we've been misled, we need to do something different? When did all this finally occur to you to know we need to do something different?
Yeah. So at the beginning of 2021, I heard Pierre Corey talking about ivermectin. I was exposed to Peter McCullough talking about, you know, early treatment. And so I started using that a little bit. At that time, the doses were pretty small, and, you know, still my patients in the ICU weren't doing well. But I learned about it more and more as 2021 progressed. And by the end of summer, we were having another surge here in the Midwest, kind of, you know, a year to the day, August 21. And I kept hearing people say, my patients are dying, and, you know, being all dramatic on social media. And so I would challenge them and say, well, why didn't you treat them? Why don't you try ivermectin? And why don't you give them actual steroids? And by this point, we knew that there was a viral phase for the first 7 days. And at day 10 to 14, they go into the cytokine storm, which is inflammation. So I started pushing back against doctors and saying, why don't you treat this properly? And what happened at that point was pretty eye-opening to me, because I got shut down, I got censored, I got kicked out of my doctor groups. You know, doctors wouldn't allow me, like my medical directors, the pharmacist would shut down my orders and block my orders in the hospital.
Just stop for a second. You wrote orders for people and they blocked your orders?
Correct. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, go ahead.
So,
wow.
So kind of three things were happening. One, I was discovering early treatment and I was understanding the disease process, which was my whole mission of going to New York in the first place. And so I felt like I knew how to treat it, or wanted the opportunity to treat it better. The vaccine mandates were being pushed in the hospital, and then we had this moral argument coming down, right? And my orders were being blocked, and I was starting to see patients who were vax-injured in my ICU in the summer of 21. And nobody was talking about it. At one point, I had 5 patients in my ICU on ECMO, which is the heart-lung bypass machine, and 4 of them were post-jab. I took care of a patient who had had COVID and waited and got his shot, and 24 hours later came in with a cardiac arrest. So I was seeing this in my ICU, and nobody was talking about it. And so, you know, I got to a point where I couldn't ethically stay in the ICU and not treat patients properly, and I wasn't going to get a shot, and I wasn't going to go through with, you know, nonsensical testing that was punitive because I didn't get a shot, and I started to be treated like a second-class citizen.
And then, explain that. What do you mean? Explain that. In the hospital, you mean?
Yes.
Okay, explain that, please. Explain what you mean.
Because I was talking to people, right? I'm like, I want to use ivermectin. I want to use this. And I actually got a text message from my medical director one day saying, you're sitting there unvaccinated without a mask on. You can't sit there and eat in the presence of a vaccinated person.
Why? What's the point of that? They've been vaccinated. What are they afraid of?
Correct. But, you know, I wasn't a feisty person. I knew that I wasn't going to win this argument, right? So I just, I'm like, I'm not going to be treated that way. I'm not a second-class citizen. You know, I was pretty up to speed on natural immunity, and I knew that I was much safer for patients and other staff than anybody who got the shot. So at that point, I kind of had to leave the ICU, and this was September of 21. So within 1 month, I lost all 3 ICU jobs where I worked.
Wow. Wow. I got to ask this question. So how did this make you feel, besides angry? How did you feel about this?
Basically, I felt like I was on an island, because no doctor that I'd worked with for 5 years, that I'd been in the trenches with for 18 months working 2 full-time ICU jobs, they didn't talk to me.
They wouldn't even talk to you? They wouldn't even talk to you.
I haven't talked to any of them since I left. a year and a half ago.
Oh my! And how did your family treat you?
My family is so grateful that I told them not to get these shots. They trust me wholeheartedly on this, and they know I know what I'm talking about, and they've actually been involved in helping me take care of patients in our small town, so they know that what I'm speaking is the absolute truth, and they've been part of it and witnessed it.
Well, praise God for that, because a lot of families just turn their family members away. You know that.
Yeah, and we do have people in our family who have different opinions. Luckily for us, it hasn't caused that kind of division, but it certainly has caused some moments of discomfort.
I would say, at least that much. Yes, yes.
Yeah, yeah. So, okay. You know, and that's kind of where things dramatically changed for me was in September of 21, you know, New York City, they took my hospital privileges away because I didn't have a vaccine passport. One hospital fired me because they wouldn't give me a religious or medical exemption. I worked from home. It was a virtual ICU job. And the other job, I wouldn't test, so I was fired from all three jobs within a matter of a month.
Gee whiz. And, okay, this has been, a couple of years ago that basically this started, 2.5 years ago, whenever this all really hit at full speed. So you've come a long way since then. You moved ahead. Have any of your colleagues come back along at all and said, hey, you were right and we were wrong?
I wouldn't say that. No. I wouldn't say that.
So basically, they've just still ignore you.
Yes, completely. And I don't work in a hospital anymore because I'm not going to get the shot, and it's not worth the argument for me, and there's more to that I can get into. But so I left the hospital, and I started offering early treatment, and I opened my own clinic.
Well, bless your heart. That makes me feel good that you're out there and you have this kind of courage. So your colleagues more or less deserted you. And by the way, have any of them changed your mind, had their eyes open at all since then that you know of?
I don't know because I haven't been in touch with them.
Okay.
Some of them blocked me on social media. I can't imagine there aren't a number of them that are vaccine injured based on the percentages. So that's for sure. I had a couple of them tell me as I was out the door that they kind of agreed with me, and they weren't getting any more shots, but they're all still employed, so that tells me that they are because the boosters were mandated. So I'm confident in my decision, and I pray that they're not injured from this.
Well, a lot of people that had quit or had fired because they lost their job, they won't take the shot, are now being reinstated. They rescinded the mandates, and even the military is considering reinstating the ones in pay with back pay that they fired mm-hmm. because they won't take the shot. So, well, we can spend a lot more time on this, but I won't get into what's happening now. With all you've seen and all the results you've seen, and over the last, how long have you been in practice for yourself now? How many years?
A year and a half since I left the ICU. Yeah.
What have you seen happening now as a result of these jabs that so many people got? Mm-hmm. What have you seen in your own practice?
The devastation from these shots is immeasurable. It is widespread, and the vaccine injured are the most gaslit, abused people in our population right now.
And what do you mean?
So they're experiencing terrible symptoms. They're going to doctors who don't understand how to take care of them. They don't acknowledge it's a vaccine-related issue. They won't write exemptions so they won't get more shots. They won't document in the charts that it's related to the vaccines, and they have no options for treatment for these patients. So basically patients get pushed around from place to place in corporate medicine, racking up bills of $10,000 to $70,000 with no answers and no options for treatment because the treatments are things that corporate medicine won't acknowledge. Ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, supplements, IV vitamin infusions, hyperbaric oxygen that they won't use their hyperbaric chambers in the hospital for.
Oh my goodness! What's some of the results you've seen from the vaccines?
Mostly two things: neurologic and cardiac issues. So if you think about it, our heart and our brain use the most oxygen in our body,
sure.
So they're most dependent
right.
and most vulnerable. So this is a combination of endothelial issues, which is like blood vessel inflammation, blood clotting, and autoimmune like antibody production. So what it does is I think it muddies the blood up a little bit, and it kind of acts like a dam, so oxygen can't get through as effectively. So we see everything from brain fog, tremors, movement disorders, new onset Parkinson's, dementia, brain fog, neuropathies, numbness and tingling in the arms and legs, a lot of that. And then on the cardiac side, we see things like chest pain, arrhythmias, heart rate going really high, myocarditis. We're seeing blood clots, strokes, heart attacks. We're seeing explosive rates of cancers because the spike protein binds to P53, which is a tumor suppressor gene. So we're seeing explosive cancers. It's devastating.
Yeah, I can only imagine. And are a bunch of them, I mean, I know you're out there now, and everybody doesn't know who you are yet, obviously, but are you starting to get quite a few people coming in asking for help now?
We are more and more every day. I was booted off of Twitter in September over some comments that I made questioning the AMA, questioning another doctor. He was pushing the bivalent vaccine, which was tested on eight mice. He was saying that if you don't want to get hospitalized or have severe illness, you need to get this shot. The shot was never tested on humans, let alone outcome studies. So I pushed back on that, and I got booted for misinformation on Twitter. So now that I'm back on there and more vocal, patients are starting to find us at a faster rate, yes.
And I assume probably you're being overwhelmed with these patients, are you not?
We are. We definitely have capacity, and we're trying to systematize that so we can take care of as many people as possible. I can tell you this is one of the most difficult things I've ever treated, and I'm seeing patients every 1 to 2 weeks as we get started. And, you know, a lot of them have setbacks and things. So it's not only, like, mechanistically and time-consuming, but it's also a very heavy emotional lift because they're in such a bad place.
Oh, my. Well, I can only imagine. I do know that worldwide, professionals are starting to question what happened and really point fingers at what went down and why they did it. And obviously, it was a planned pandemic. A lot of people got rich off of this. And they did reduce the world's population and still are. I mean, people aren't by no means finished dying from this vaccine. And also they give a placebo to some people, so they're fine. They didn't, you know, they did that as part of the guinea pig group, I guess. But what is your prognostication for what's coming next? I mean, how do you expect these fatalities keep growing and all these things keep growing over the next few years?
I hate to speculate because there's a lot of people out there that got these shots that are now having serious regret. And people have predicted things. I think we're going to see the worst is yet to come on this, and we don't know what's coming next.
Well, hang on through the break, sweetheart. We got to go to break here, folks. A lot more talk about it in your phone calls. Questions next half hour, 844-769-2944. What a powerful program.
Satan's army roams the land, seeking souls of fallen men.
Hi, folks. Pastor Butch Paul here. I'm certain that I don't need to tell y'all we're living in unstable times, or as the Bible says, perilous times. We're starting to see shortages of many products in America, cars, clothing, furniture, and even food. We can't do much about the cars, clothing, and furniture, but we can with the food, simply by calling Nemana Foods, the best in store foods bar none. They have a shelf life over 25 years, are great tasting, no GMOs, no chemical preservatives, no aspartame or high fructose corn syrup, and no MSGs. Give Nemana a call at 888-597-0775. That's 888-597-0775. Or go to Nemana.com. Mention that Pastor Butch sent you and get a 10% discount. That's 888-597-0775. You'll be glad you did.
Are you paying an arm and a leg for a healthy alternative lifestyle? Are you tired of products not meeting your expectations? Is it becoming harder for you to have faith in restoring your body to the temple it began as? I know your struggle is real, and I'd be honored to help you and those you care about feel better and thrive. With organic ingredients and no fillers made right here in our own country, many of which are wild-crafted right here in the mountains of Montana, we at Superior Mountain Herbs are blessed to be able to get you the best herbal products with no hassles or misleading information. Truth and transparency is what you get with us. For a free list of products available to hear this month's special as well, please call Summer at 406-274-7579 or email me at green with an E at the end, assistant summer at gmail.com. That's green with an E at the end, assistant summer at gmail.com.
There's a lot of talk all over the internet these days about the remarkable benefits of carbon 60, and baby boomers are especially excited about it. Whatever generation you're in, if you want more energy, better health, and a boost in vitality, we invite you to try Gresca's Carbon 60, a stunning development in free radical destruction. Being much smaller in size than conventional antioxidants derived from fruits and vegetables, it is far more bioavailable to quickly mend the toxin-crippled cells in your body. Gresca's Carbon 60 is the only C60 product that is made without the use of undesirable solvents. The only one. Gresca's Carbon 60 was developed by a brilliant NASA carbon scientist, and 95% report positive results from this Nobel Prize-winning technology in just 4 days. Visit C-60.com. That's C-60.com or call 720-600-6040.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
This is war, not a game we're playing. This is a war. Get on the battlefield. Satan's armies come to kill. This is war.
Folks, we are back, and the phone line's open. If you have any questions, comments for Dr. Molly James, now's your time to do it. 844-769-2944. Maybe you're out there listening tonight, and I'm sure some of you are. I mean, this is a worldwide broadcast. Somebody listening, I'm sure, that took the jab. And maybe you're concerned. Maybe you're starting not to feel well. You're wondering what you can do. Your doctor's giving you a runaround. Now's your chance to call and talk to Dr. Molly. She will tell you how to get a hold of her and how maybe she can help you. Again, 844-769-2944. During the break, Dr. Molly is asking about when you were in New York and you saw all those people dying. How many do you think could have been saved if it had been handled right?
I think 85%. And that number comes from two things. First of all, we know that the military knew ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine were effective, and it was ordered to be hidden. We have whistleblowers who reveal that data long before 2020 and at the very beginning. Computer estimates that, you know, several hundred thousand people died because of suppression of early treatment. In New York, I have to give people a little bit of grace. Half of the people in New York died because we didn't have enough healthcare professionals to take care of our patients.
Go ahead.
About a third of our team was out sick at any point in time, and the other two thirds were picking up the slack. So we had shortages within. You know, it took them a minute to get people recruited from around the country to come in. They did eventually get relief, but again, about half probably died just because of lack of resources. And they would have at any part of the country at any kind of disaster of that magnitude. So that's not really a criticism of those people.
You are aware that the DOD helped run this whole scenario. You know that, right?
I am, yes.
Yeah, the Department of Defense helped run this thing, and even Australia has admitted it now that the U.S. military was involved in this in Australia. That maybe should tell something that perhaps this was a biological weapon. And I hate to say that, but you have to face the facts, folks. It doesn't change it if we just try to ignore it. Something was wrong. When the DOD gets involved, this is not a normal pandemic or a normal virus of any kind. There's a reason for this to be done this way. Now, you said maybe two, maybe three, fours could have been saved if they had the right treatments and got started right away, in your opinion. So what do you see, and what do you see next? I want you to just feel free to lead any way you want to go. Folks, lines are open, 844-769-2944. If somebody would call you today and say, I got the jab, I don't feel well, what would you tell them? What would you tell them?
So we do a pretty thorough consultation. We look at any testing that they've had. If they haven't had any, you know, we are very thorough to work up whatever symptoms they have. You can't just assume it's from the shot. You have to make sure it's not an unrelated condition. So we're doing a lot of imaging studies, EMGs, cardiac echoes, cardiac MRIs, lots of blood work. And I'm just using functional medicine and trying to optimize, reduce inflammation, help with the blood clotting, get people in hyperbaric oxygen chambers, which helps boost stem cells and reduce inflammation. And these are pretty powerful for a lot of people.
Okay.
I did want to go back and mention. In the ICU, over the 18 months I was there, I estimate I took care of about 2,000 COVID patients. And about, I would estimate 75 to 80% of them died. When I switched to early treatment in my clinic, September of 21, we've treated now about 4,000 patients under my medical direction, and we've lost, I think, 20 patients to 30 patients have died. Most of them were extremely high risk and got to us late. We were able to use hyperbaric oxygen. I had patients walking into my clinic with stats in the 60s and 70s, and we got them in the hyperbaric chamber. We got them home oxygen. We treated them appropriately, and they're all doing fine with no lung issues and back to work.
So you have treated around 4,000 patients, you said?
Yes, since leaving the ICU.
And lost how many?
20.
Wow. What a record. Gee whiz. Now, again, are there any other doctors out there that you know of that are doing what you're doing, that have a clinic open basically to treat these people?
There are. There's about, I think the estimate is about 500 doctors out of a million are treating COVID and post-vax injury.
Well,
yep.
Praise God for the few. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Yep.
MyFreeDoctor.com
is one. Dr. Ben Marble, that's a donation-based online. I highly recommend that. My clinic is JamesClinic.com. You can follow me on Twitter at MallsJames, at James_clinic. That's where you can find me. I'm also on Instagram. My clinic is more of a concierge. I mean, these patients need a lot of help. They need a lot of assistance, and we offer that higher level of support.
Folks, that's James Clinic, J-A-M-E-S, just like the name James in the Bible, jamesclinic.com. Check it out.
Correct.
And read what she does and follow up with what she's saying. So what do you say? We're going to get phone calls, folks. I'll get you phone calls, I promise. Keep the lines filled up here, 844-769-2944. What do you see coming in the very near future or extended future? With the ones who've been jabbed who maybe aren't sick yet, or what do you see coming out of this?
So I would, you know, if they're doing fine and they never had any side effects, I would say you may be one of the lucky ones. It seems like some of the shots maybe weren't temperature controlled. Maybe the lipid nanoparticle turned to mush, so you got a placebo injection. If you did have bad side effects, I think it's worthwhile to find a COVID-literate doctor to do a thorough evaluation, look at your blood work, you know, if you're having symptoms, do appropriate workup for that, and give you treatment options. You know, people live in fear, and, you know, there's a lot of people who aren't waking up in the mornings, and it's terrifying, a lot of, you know, people who went down that road that trusted their doctors. So there's things that we can do to look for warning signs.
What would be some of the first warning signs? I mean, how would what? I mean, I'm just dropping dead. I mean, they're really just dropping over. But what would be some of the warning signs? Fatigue, body ache. What would be some of the warning signs?
Yeah, severe fatigue, brain fog, dizziness, weakness, of course, chest pain, shortness of breath, inability to do the same activity you did before, swelling in an arm or leg, neurologic issues, so numbness, tingling, drooping face. You know, most people are having severe symptoms and they're living and they're doing, you know, they're just miserable. That are having side effects. You know, I think it's a very small number that are having the sudden cardiac death. I don't know how many of them were having issues before they died, because it's all hindsight, right?
Yes.
So,
yes.
So we don't know. Yeah.
So that some of them can have kind of stroke-like symptoms then.
Correct.
Okay.
Yep.
And with the blood clots I've been reading about and hearing about, I'm even watching Undertakers, you know, dig them out of people and look like strands of wire or something. How often are you seeing this?
So I don't see that part because I'm not in the, you know, in the funeral home. But we do know that if we have patients who have blood clots after the jab, that those don't respond to normal treatment. They don't dissolve over time without special intervention. So I would recommend those people, again, go to a COVID-literate doctor where we can do things that bind the spike protein. You know, things like ivermectin, phenofibrate, blood thinners, potentially enzymes that can break up those clots. Or we're looking at all of this right now, right? There's a lot of researchers who are trying to figure this out as quickly as possible. And this is the worst nightmare. This is why you don't launch a new technology on the entire world at once, because we had signals that this wasn't safe, and the drug companies didn't. The normal warning flags were ignored. There were safety signals. I think 1,200 people had died by February of 2021. That should have stopped this at that point.
Well, you know, this was not an accident. It's too big an accident to just blunder into. This was not an accident. You know that.
Yeah, they couldn't have accidentally gotten it as wrong as they did.
This one makes even more frustrating and curious to look at, because they had to know that this hadn't been tested, obviously, and they had to know there's going to be side effects. This didn't just come out all of a sudden. Bang! We didn't know this was going to do anything like this. We had no idea. That's nonsense. This was planned from the beginning. Any comments along those lines? And then we'll take a phone call. Any comments along those lines?
Well, the spike protein is what makes the coronavirus more infectious, right? That's what makes it more virulent. That's why we get cytokine storm. That is the bioweapon component. So why you would make a vaccine that includes the bioweapon component or turns your body into a bioweapon spike factory defies logic.
It does. It does. Yes, folks, this was not an accident. Let's go to phone lines. I promised I would. Let's start in Washington State. Let's talk to Carolyn. Carolyn, welcome. Are you there, Carolyn? I think she listened to the radio and she doesn't know I'm calling for her yet. Carolyn, turn your radio off, sweetheart, and come and join us. Are you there?
More infectious, right? That's what makes it more virulent.
Okay. I guess, Carolyn, are you there? Can you hear me? All right. Let us stay on the call. Let's go to Dave in Canada. Dave, come on in.
Hello there. You hear me down there?
Sure can. Come on in.
Okay. Thank you very much for this opportunity. First of all, I want to say that I refuse to take the shot right from the beginning. I was suspicious of this whole business. Here's my question. I've heard so often, I've paid a lot of close attention to this, that the treatment with using remdesivir was bad because the remdesivir attacked the organs. And then the other treatment, I forget what it's called, of putting the tube down into the lungs, was also the wrong thing to do. So could the doctor please comment on those two items?
Sure.
Yes,
go ahead,
I can. Doc, please. Yes, I can. So first of all, the ventilators. So very briefly, the ventilators were not the problem, right? When faced with a patient who is in the condition they were in, that was the only option. They were breathing 50 to 60 times a minute. So imagine if you would go run a marathon, except you can't stop. Eventually, you run out of steam and you keel over and die. So the ventilator was the less bad of two options. The problem was the lungs were so fragile from inflammation that the lung, you know, imagine blowing a jet fan onto a wet piece of tissue paper, a wet Kleenex. You're going to tear it apart.
Right.
Yeah, so that's what the ventilators did to the lungs. And I can't tell you how many conversations I had with people and said, please don't let us, I don't want to put your loved one on a ventilator. And they said, I want you to do it anyway. So I am going to say, and this is controversial, the doctors did not inappropriately intubate people. But if you take a step back, if they would have been treated appropriately with anti-inflammatories, they wouldn't have needed a ventilator in the first place. So that's a nuance. Remdesivir, wrong drug for the wrong phase of illness, right? It did not attack and ravage the organs. It's not a great drug. I don't like it. It was associated with a little bit of renal failure. But the patients weren't in a viral condition. They were presenting to the hospital in cytokine storm, a massive inflammation and blood clotting. So they needed anti-inflammatories and blood thinners. So it's the wrong drug for the wrong phase of the illness. And it had a slightly higher mortality. I believe it's a 3% higher mortality than placebo. It did have an increased risk of kidney and liver failure. On the ground in the trenches, that was really hard to tease out because our patients were so sick. The illness itself would cause them to go into kidney and liver failure. So I'll just leave it at that. And if people are out there and they got remdesivir in the hospital, I don't think they have to worry that if they're fine now, they don't have to worry their organs are going to shut down someday from that.
Okay. That help
you,
Dave?
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thanks for the call, Dave. Thanks for being there.
Appreciate
you. Thank you. Thank you. Let's go back and try Carolyn again in Washington. Carolyn, are you there this time? Are you there, Carolyn? I don't know. She's not there. Okay. Folks, the line's open. 844-769-2944. 844-769-2944. So we were talking about speculation. Now, I know you can't give a definite answer on what's coming next, but I do know we're seeing more and more people getting ill, and this is starting to make national news. As a matter of fact, there's an article in the Daily Mail in UK about they're actually thinking about lawsuits now. I don't know whether it's going to go or how it's going to go, but what do you think may be coming next on this?
So with COVID, I don't know. Again, every time we've seen that the red flags were pulled, they've doubled down. You know, when we were seeing safety signals, they mandated the shots. I'm hoping that we can get a handle on our government and push back on this and, you know, get back to respecting civil liberties. They are still requiring the shots in hospitals, so I think you're going to see a devastation of the healthcare workforce. And as far as what's coming next, we know what's coming next because they just did another simulation like Event 201 that happened in fall of 2019 where they did a war game scenario of a coronavirus taking over the world from China. Now they've done another one, which is an enterovirus coming from, I think it's South America, affecting children with a high mortality rate.
Uh-huh.
So I think that's going to be what's coming next. I mean, they tell us what's coming before it happens, right? So
yes.
I'm in a group of doctors that kind of keep a finger on the pulse of what's going on around the world in case any of these infections start to grab hold where it could be the next big thing.
And I wonder how many of them were playing for the next big thing to keep people scared and back in their cages. Mick, in New Mexico, Mick, come on in. Welcome.
Hey, Butch.
Yes, sir.
Now, this thing she talked about, what if? Now, this is a hypothetical if. If familiar with the protocols of the Larry Elders of Zion?
Okay.
What if they were, this is part of their plan?
Well, that's a possibility. I mean, there's something behind this more than we know, obviously. When the DOD's involved, there's something behind this, and it wasn't because of some pandemic.
Read Psalms 83. Now, who is Israel? We are Israel, not that thing across the ocean. They're the ones who are behind this trash.
Well, time will tell. That I know that they were bragging about all of them being vaccinated, and they're going to do it again. So, oh no, Mick, we'll find out. Thanks for calling, mentioning. I appreciate it. We'll find out about that. 844-769-2944. If you've been vaccinated, you have a question, now's the time to call. Or you can go to jamesclinic.com and find out on there. Talk to them. And Dr. James, Dr. Molly, if somebody wants to talk to you, call you up and talk to you. Do you do phone consultations?
So, yeah, they need to contact my office. We certainly do virtual. I don't usually do them via phone because I need to see the patient. So we do telemedicine. We do video chats. But definitely we can do that virtually.
All right. And how would they what's the office number?
636-751-9440. Or they can email us at hello@jamesclinic.com. And there's actually a form on our website. They can request a consult right there. The initial consult with me is $790. And then we have a six-month program for people who are injured that they can jump into if they see that as being helpful from there.
Okay. Again, number 636-751-9440, folks. Or hello@jamesclinic.com. Have I got that right? Hello at what now? Run by me again.
Hello@jamesclinic.com, yes.
That's it. Okay. That's easy. Hello@jamesclinic.com. And so when they call you on the phone, you would look at them not on the phone, but on consultation on the video. And what can you tell by looking at them?
So I talk through their symptoms. I can see how they're breathing. I can see what their neurologic symptoms are. I can do a lot of diagnostics over the phone. You know, I have people who have uncontrollable rashes. So that video component is necessary. I do have people who email or call in, you know, with specific questions. I can never give specific medical advice for a patient unless they have a consult. So, yeah.
Okay. And if people do consult you and you work with them, are you able to prescribe medicine if they don't live in the state? Can you prescribe medicine for them where they live?
As long as it's in the U.S., we haven't had any problems.
Okay. Well, that's good news. I thought there might be a problem. So, what are the, and I know you can't give specifics, but what are the main medicines that you do recommend for somebody who is damaged? Do you have anything specific that you use a lot?
I do. It's different for everybody because it's tailored to their symptoms, right?
Right.
But I use a lot of, I usually start with ivermectin. There's a cholesterol medicine. It's not a statin. It's called fenofibrate that binds the spike. Low-dose naltrexone. Colchicine is an anti-inflammatory gout medication. What else do I use? Blood thinners, Plavix, aspirin, Eliquis, Apixaban, what else? And then I use a lot of supplements, anti-inflammatory supplements. And then I try to help them, if I think it would benefit them, I help them try to find a hyperbaric oxygen near them and then an IV vitamin infusion of high-dose IV vitamin C. Yeah.
Okay. All right. That's quite in-depth. I mean, gee, that's a lot of territory. Truly is.
Yep.
And we'll go to another caller in a second. One more question. How about chelation? Does that help?
I don't know. Chelation is a very specific art, and not a lot of people practice that because it does have side effects. So chelation is when you bind heavy metals in the body.
Right.
I don't do that IV. I do that usually with using supplements like chlorophyll or chlorella, things like that, cilantro. You can do that through foods orally that's a little bit more gentle on the system and a little bit safer.
Okay. Let's go to Ohio. Let's talk to Gene. Gene, come on in. Welcome.
Hello, and thanks for taking my call. Hi,
You're
doctor.
Welcome.
I'm glad to hear you on this program. I have something to ask you concerning bromelain and acetylcysteine. I heard that that's effective against the spike protein. And the other thing I would like to bring up is some of these people coming into our country and the food that's going into New York, the underground meat, can possibly bring in Ebola. Now, how would we approach a problem like that? I know this is all complicated, but I'll take your answer off the air. Thank you very much.
Thank you for the call, Gene. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah, so I'll answer the first question. Bromelain is an enzyme that comes from pineapple. That is usually one of the enzymes if you're doing serrapeptase, lumbrokinase, nattokinase. So that may degrade the spike. I don't know specifically about bromelain. It's usually good for cough, for cutting a cough. N-acetylcysteine is the precursor of glutathione. That is the most potent antioxidant in the body. So that's why N-acetylcysteine is very helpful, and that's incorporated into a lot of treatment protocols. And we use a lot of IV glutathione for that. As far as the meat going into New York, I don't know that Ebola is transmitted that way. I would have to review that. But I don't have an answer for that one.
Well, Dr. Baller, we're down about the last 2.5 minutes. Again, give your phone number. I don't have it all in front of me, but I want you to give it to everybody again real slowly. And, folks, write these down. Have any questions, do call and talk to them. It's worth a shot. Give it a call. If you've had the jab and you're just concerned something might happen, what can you do for preventative? Give them a call. All right, the website and the phone number again is?
Yep, so it's jamesclinic.com is my website, and all of this information is on there. And then my phone number is 636-751-9440. And Heather and Megan are my two patient support team, and they can answer all of your questions and help you decide if it's a good fit and if we can help you.
Well, Dr. Molly, may I call you again sometime and have you on again sometime?
Yeah, that would be great. I really appreciate the opportunity. It's been a great discussion, and I appreciate all you're doing and moving in the right direction. So thank you very much.
Well, you're more welcome, sweetheart. I'll be in touch. I'll be with you sometime in a couple weeks in your broadcast. Please, please keep in touch. If I do anything to help you, let me know, okay?
Appreciate that. Thanks, Pastor
right.
Butch.
God bless, sweetheart. Talk to you soon. And, folks, you're Dr. Molly James. I mean, wow, what a sweet young lady. And I just let her go a little bit early tonight because I want to mention, if you don't mind, we could finances are really tight. We could use some help if you don't mind, folks. I'm just saying that. We can use the help. Some doors may be opening for us again. We're still working to get on Roku. We're looking for a sponsor to maybe help us pay for that. We're doing our best to expand this to reach more people, folks. And it's just great to hear phone calls from Canada and everywhere else and around the country and around the world even. But we do need your help, and I do appreciate you. I hope we're blessing you somehow. I pray in the name of God that we're doing something to glorify Him and bless all of you. Be in the office tomorrow between 9 and 4 Eastern. Love to talk to you. 800-777-4403 or 304-846-4448. Call us up and get a good deal on this seminar. Give them to your friends, okay? See you there. Bye-bye.
This is war. Satan's army roams the land, seeking souls of fallen men.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE talkradio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.